You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves with SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Tuesday, the 27th of October 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, housing affordability has improved. We'll tell you more soon. But first to the Australian share market, which had its worst day in almost a month, the 200 down 1.7% to 6,051. And that's despite some positive news. The RBA said that September quarter would likely show some positive GDP growth. That means we're likely out of a recession. And, of course, there's the easing of restrictions in Melbourne. Technology stocks were hardest hit today, Afterpay down by 4.7%, BHP 2.2% weaker, the Commonwealth Bank off by 1.4%. Insurers like QBE also lost ground. It was off by 4%. Only eight stocks finished in positive territory of the 200. Boral was one of them, up 0.2% on an asset sale. And Bendigo and Adelaide Bank added 2.3%. It says two-thirds of its customers who had put their mortgages and business loans on hold have restarted to pay. So for more on the day's action, I spoke earlier to Scott Phillips from the Motley Fool. Scott, the market's had its worst day in 4 weeks. Why?
Yeah, a bad lead from the US didn't help. And I think a lot of concern about coming into both the election and, frankly, the potential third waves and more lockdowns in the US, but more so in Europe. Obviously, big recovery since March. The concern from that, of course, is if anything goes badly, if the commentary starts to change, then the market goes with it.
Does it signal a turning point?
I don't think so necessarily. Like, no one knows the future. I think the reality is that the market has expected a lot of good stuff. That's largely come to pass. And to some degree, when the tide's all the way in, it's only got one way to go. And from a sentiment perspective, I think that's what we're seeing, some sort of, you know, either pullback or just simply, you know, a reassessment of how confident we should be and what that should mean for share prices. I don't expect another downturn necessarily. Certainly, with the economic news we've had today, should be better news than we otherwise expect.
I know we've got the US election. We're trying to find out what's going to happen with US stimulus as well. But given that we've seen so much of a recovery in the share market since March, as you mentioned, how much of an effective vaccine and the hopes of an effective vaccine has been baked into valuations right now?
I think that's a really good question. I think all of it, almost all of it, by definition, if not deliberately. In other words, people are looking at the economy, looking at the company on the exchanges and saying, when things get back to normal, this is what they're worth. Now, the when bit is the important bit, right? Because if it happens quickly, then share prices are okay. If it takes 12, 18, 24 months for real normalcy to return, we may well see there's too much optimism in share prices. I don't know anyone said there will be a vaccine and therefore X will happen, but they're certainly pricing companies as if recovery is not too far away.
Can we talk about the e-commerce space? It's interesting. The likes of Temple & Webster, Kogan, Zip, shares have really come off the boil even though they did well during the peak of the pandemic. New entrants like Adore Beauty and MyDeal, after a promising start late last week, you know, they've really lost interest. What's your take?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit, you know, we talk about the growth or the recovery in share prices probably leading the economic recovery. And to some degree, there was a bit of a, you know, the old TINA acronym, there is no alternative. If you wanted to be investing in something that's growing, in the US you had tech. Here you kind of had some degree of tech, fintech, I suppose, with the buy now, pay later players. Or you had e-commerce. There were very few other areas that were genuinely growing in the midst of decline. And so to some degree, there's probably a bit of a reversal of that trade when the rest of the economy starts to come along. People feel better about going back to some of the stocks. Maybe the cyclicals they avoided are other stocks. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's just the sense that maybe there's other places now to invest. And maybe the market did get carried away in the short term with some of those share prices. I do think for what it's worth, though, e-commerce has a long way to go. This is not a new or a different thing. It's just an acceleration of existing trend.
And bank reporting season starts on Thursday with ANZ. We also heard from Bendigo and Adelaide Banks today. What's your take on the sector?
This is a tough one. I actually think we need to be a little bit careful here with what we expect over the next 12 to 18 months, Ricardo. The simple reality is banks were woefully under-provisioned coming into this. Now, I don't say they should have seen it coming necessarily, but the time to provide for these things, you put nuts away for winter, right, in the middle of summer. You don't wait till winter and then desperately grab for the nuts. In this case, I think the banks were woefully under-prepared, and frankly, they're now catching up with some of those provisions. That will happen, I think, over the next 3, 6, maybe even 12 months before they really get a decent leveling. And of course, it matters what happens to the economy next. So I don't think the banks are in good shape anytime soon. They're not terrible. They're not going broke. But better times ahead are probably 2022 and beyond, I think, for our banks.
Scott Phillips there, the head of research at the Motley Fool. Now, the sell-off today followed a down day on Wall Street overnight, with investors concerned about a number of things, including a rise in the number of coronavirus cases, the fact that there's no fiscal stimulus agreement just yet, a package on that, and, of course, the outcome of the US presidential election, which is on in just over a week's time. So for more on that, I spoke earlier with Jonathan Armitage. He is the Chief Investment Officer at MLC Asset Management. Jonathan, to what extent will the outcome of this US election impact investments?
I think the impact can be seen from two angles. The first one is over the short term, and it's really around whether or not there's clarity around the results. Over the longer term, actually markets tend to be not bothered about whether or not it's a Republican or a Democratic president who's in the Oval Office.
I think what's interesting is that typically we'd see a bit of volatility leading into an election, right? And in October, the market in the US anyway is pretty much now where it was at the beginning of the month. Does that surprise you?
I think I would agree with you that it has been surprising that there hasn't been a little bit more volatility in markets, particularly when you consider what's been going on in the US economy, some of the uncertainty that you've seen around the increase in COVID cases, and also what you're seeing in the wider global economy, particularly with the increased uncertainty driven again by the pandemic in Europe.
So does the market really prefer one candidate to another?
It's a really good question. I think the focus for the market will be on, first of all, who the new president is, and secondly, that actually sort of going forward, if it's a Biden presidency, the impact of some of his policies going forward in the future, particularly around increasing taxes, which is one of the things that he has focused on in the campaign.
Can we explore more about that market reaction, given we haven't seen that volatility then? What could potentially be the biggest risk to the market in when it comes to this election that will drive or potentially drive that volatility?
The biggest risk for the markets is around uncertainty, and that is around a contested election. If there is no clear winner, and particularly President Trump decides to contest the election, that is something that we would expect to sort of drive volatility in markets. And you saw that back in 2000 in the contested election between Gore and Bush.
And when it comes to geopolitics, where do both candidates lie?
I think from a geopolitical perspective, there's probably greater proximity between the strategies that a Biden presidency or a Trump presidency will push forward, particularly when it pertains to China. I think what you would expect to see from a Biden presidency is perhaps a more orthodox approach to negotiations and dealing with a variety of geopolitical issues.
Jonathan Armitage there from MLC. Quickly moving over now to housing affordability, which has improved and will continue to improve over the next 12 months as we climb out of a recession. And that's because of low interest rates and lower house prices. Moody's Investor Service says a year ago, it took 25.1% of monthly income of an Australian household with two incomes to meet mortgage repayments. So that's 25.1% of that monthly income. Now it's 23%. And remember, about 30% implies mortgage stress. So for more on that, here's Elena Chen from Moody Investors Services. She's the vice president.
Probably on the income side, when government income payments for COVID, such as JobKeeper and JobSeeker, does end in early 2021. So that will put pressure on the income side. But in terms of new borrowers, entering into the housing market, we think that that impact will not outweigh the impact of much lower interest rates and a soft housing market.
Elena Chen there from Moody's Investor Services, talking more about the risks to housing affordability down the track. That is On the Money for this Tuesday, the 27th of October, 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This On the Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It's not personal advice and it doesn't consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.